Jenny, I appreciate you tying the children's message in with the scripture today. I really appreciate that, and thank you, Susan. It's always kind of nice to come in and be a guest somewhere and have somebody take over for a little while so you can get your bearings, and gives me a chance to look around, too. I want to thank Pastor Sarah and the church for this opportunity. When she called me, or emailed me, actually, several weeks ago, I was just coming off of a cast on my leg, and I said, surely by January 16th, I'll be getting around just fine. Well, so this is the latest footwear from University Orthopedics, and I have a support on my other shoe to make sure that I don't walk like this, I guess, or like this, but I'll get back to the mic. I ruptured my Achilles tendon in church the end of October. I was going up steps from Sunday school, and there was this loud bang. And we all thought a car backfired, and it was my Achilles tendon. I didn't know you could do that. And I went flat on my face, and the pain was awful. And apparently there's a whole band of these ligaments that run up from the top of your heel up the back of your calf. And it enables you to walk. And mine completely broke. It looked like tangled fishing line in the MRI. And he said, you even pulled it off your bone. And I'm like, ugh. So I had a 2-hour surgery on October 29th. And I was in a wheelchair for 8 weeks. Took me 4 weeks to learn to walk again because my muscles were that weak, and then I'm in the boot for 2 more weeks, and Dreyer Physical Therapy is doing a good job of torturing me 3 times a week, but it's working, so I'm thankful, and if you see me, I guess I use that as an explanation, if you see me fall at some point, don't worry, it's something I do in this, I'm okay, and you may all leave before I get to the back to welcome you or to thank you. So just allow me a little grace with my slow movement. Actually, Pastor Sarah, when she called me, I haven't met her. We've only been by email. And she said, be sure to give me a biography of yourself to publish in the bulletin. And I'm like, well, who's going to read that? I know I know most of you have been here before. I love this church. This church always strikes me with its beauty when I come in here. But for those who don't know me, I'm Carrie Swigert. I served Trinity United Methodist on South Main Street for 15 years. I was an interim pastor at Rhodes in Yeagertown, an interim pastor at Watts in Belleville. And I'm filling pulpits now. I didn't retire, they say, because I was too young, and so to be with my grandchildren. And speaking of grandchildren, we just had a new granddaughter on Friday morning. Yay. Fits so well with the sermon, too. No name yet. I was pushing for Karis, because my name is spelled K-A-R-I. Put an S on the end, you know, Karis, and my son said, nah, not even on the list. So I'm not sure what her name is yet, but she's healthy after emergency C-section, and mom is healthy, and her brothers are anxiously waiting at home for her to get there. So we're heading back down this week to help take care of them further. So I think that covers where we're at now. My husband, Steve, I don't know if I mentioned, he serves Watts in Belleville and also works at BK Technologies in State College, which is a medical ultrasound. Oh, and one thing I wanted to ask you, I assume you can see me okay. Apparently, Pastor Sarah is shorter than 5'7", because there's a little stand up here, and I'm afraid if I stand on it, I'll forget, and then I'll just kind of take a nosedive off of it. So if you're okay with seeing me, okay, good. All right, now, the reason I'm here. The scripture reading today is one of my favorites. My absolute favorite is when Mary recognizes Jesus after the resurrection, and he says her name, and she knows who he is, and oh, it just makes me gasp. But this is my second favorite, and when she called and asked me to come at this point after Epiphany, I thought, ooh, I can use Simeon. So I was very happy, and I'm not being favored, but to keep in order the interest of maybe a storm coming, it was sunny when I came in, we're not going to cover Anna today. We'll hit her up another time. But we're going to focus on Simeon today. So would you enter a spirit of prayer with me? And the prayer of illumination is found in your bulletin. Gracious God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, quicken our understanding that we may receive the testimony of Scripture and believe in the signs that reveal your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you as well to make me an instrument of your peace and of your word in the message today. Soften hearts, open ears, and may I be emptied completely of self so that you might use my voice to bring your message to your people and lift us all up. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The scripture lesson is in Luke 2. This followed by the story of Anna rounds out the birth narrative in Luke. And I'm going to start Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22, continuing through 35. Actually, it's verse 21. When 8 days had passed, Jesus' parents circumcised him and gave him the name Jesus. This was the name given to him by the angel before he was ever conceived. Now, when the time came for their ritual cleansing, in accordance with the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. They offered a sacrifice in keeping with what's stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, the offering of the poor. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. I think that's an understatement, actually, as we dig into him a little more. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought their child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. Simeon reached out, took the baby Jesus in his arms, and praised God. And he said, "Now, Master, let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people, Israel." His father and mother were amazed by what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and then said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your innermost being as well." This is the word of our Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. I love this story. I love the scripture, and I also love those who have been inspired by this to try to express this miracle story in art. In a little while, we're going to see the video that goes along with this story, which can illustrate it better than any words that I'm going to share with you. These all come from the Lord. At the end of the sermon, we'll take a look at that. And also, people who have done paintings. I had a pastor friend of me of mine send me some paintings, and the image of a very old man, Simeon, with his full beard and his headpiece on and his robes, holding this baby and tears coming out of his eyes and looking towards the heavens and singing a song of praise. It has inspired art, it has inspired music, and it inspires me. I'm very thankful to be here today, as I said, and because I get to share this message of Simeon and how it touches me, and I hope it touches you. This is actually my very, very favorite part of the Christmas story. Now, I know it's hard to top that the heavens break open and angels come down and start singing to a bunch of shepherds in the field, but for me, this story of Simeon does it. It brings everything into focus. This is speaking to us. because we're a bunch of Gentiles sitting here. And thank the Lord, we are included now. As we said, Simeon was a very old man, and he was a prophet, and most likely the last prophet, because the Word has now been made flesh. Jesus is the Word, with a capital W, of God, and he has been made flesh with us. Simeon is devout. He spends every day in the temple. He is always dwelling in God's presence. And he has had a clear word from God that he will not pass away until he sees the Messiah face to face. Now, this is something the Israelite nation has been looking for centuries, to see the Messiah. But even he wonders, as faithful as he is, how will I know? How will I know when I see the Messiah? There is such speculation and so much speculation that most believe that the Messiah, because of all the Roman rule now, right, in this time, that the Messiah would have to make a grand entrance, a loud entrance, perhaps a dashing figure coming in on a magnificent war horse, ready to do battle. Or maybe he'll even come riding in on a chariot of fire and announce himself in the same way that Elijah left us. Simeon didn't know either how he would know the Messiah, but he was so faithful in his prayers and so attuned to every law of Moses that he had at least some confidence that he would know the Messiah when he saw him. And this day, as he headed to the temple, he knew something extraordinary was about to happen. The Spirit was at work in him. I fully believe in the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and touching our hearts and giving us clues about his existence. But I think even Simeon would have to have admit to us that he was surprised that the Messiah came in the form of an 8-day-old infant. As Mary and Joseph approached the temple, they looked like anyone else coming in to pray or to worship. Of course, the Gentiles are like out there on like Dorcas Street or something. They're so far out, they're not nowhere near the temple. And only Joseph is permitted to take the baby into the temple. Mary, of course, has to stay outside in the court of the women. But till that point, they walk together in prayer towards the temple, and they look like anyone else coming in that day. And they're carrying a baby, so most people assume that they're there to implement all the ancient ceremonies that are to take place among Israelites, outlined for them in the Law of Moses. Since the beginning of the nation of Israel, when the Israelites left Egypt and left the Pharaoh behind. The three ceremonies are, first, circumcision, and it is the most sacred ritual of the 8th day of the birth of a Jewish child. This child from now on is marked as an Israelite, and he would receive his name. This child's name is Jesus. Even before he was conceived, that name was given. Second of these ceremonies is the redemption of the firstborn. Now, life and birth, and especially human birth, is a sacred trust from the Lord. And those of you who have raised children or grandchildren, have you heard it said that children aren't given to us, they're lent to us to bring them up in the way that Christ would have them to go. But the Jewish law went so far to say that the firstborn male offspring is a sacred trust from God, that you are entrusted to care for it. And because the firstborn male is so trusted, it not only covers the human population, but your animals. First male calf or lamb or whatever also had to be dedicated to the Lord. And it's laid out in Numbers chapter 18, verse 16, that when you bring your firstborn male child for the circumcision, the parents are required to pay 5 shekels. I thought, 5 shekels. I couldn't find how much that was worth in the first century, but today in U.S. dollars, it's about $1.60. And so you had to bring that to redeem the firstborn male. And as we read in here, Mary and Joseph brought the offering of the poor, which was also acceptable, which was two pigeons. And this offering See, this was before they knew the Messiah was here. This offering was meant to cleanse you of your sin, recognize the sacred trust of having the firstborn male of animal or human in your family, and then to give your sacrifice so that you may buy back your firstborn from God. I asked someone, I made a mistake, I showed my age. I did a children's message on SNH green stamps. Danny, do you know what SNH green stamps are? Yeah, see, you know, I blew it. And, you know, because we would save those, right? And we would redeem them. And we would get a new laundry basket or something, you know. And this is what was required for the temple sacrifice, is that you redeemed by bringing the gift. Now, if you were rich, you would bring a calf or a lamb. But Mary and Joseph brought the pigeons, not knowing this isn't the last offering they'd ever have to give, because Jesus fully redeemed us. Now, we had circumcision, we had the redemption of the firstborn with the gift they brought. Oh, and by the way, all the money that they brought, the shekels or whatever, went to the temple priest. I didn't research that further to see what they did with it. But and then third was the purification after childbirth. You know, women were considered unclean after childbirth, and if you had a male child, 40 days you were unclean and not welcome to be part of the community. If you had a female child, 80 days before you could be purified. And Mary, since she had just had the baby, when the time came for her to be purified after her 40 days, she was very thankful for this, because up till now she wasn't allowed near the temple. She wasn't allowed to any kind of worship. She wasn't allowed to be in any kind of community gathering. And she even had to be set apart from her family. In other words, she just couldn't have an ordinary life until she was officially cleansed in the temple. Now, all three of these ceremonies are from the Law of Moses and point to the fact that children are indeed a gift from God, and that they are a miracle, and that they are the greatest gift. The nation of Israel saw themselves as a great gift as well. They saw themselves as God's chosen family, God's chosen people. And at some point, they knew the prophets had always told them that God would break into this world. God would come in and he would make the Israelites masters of the world. No longer would they be put underfoot. No longer would they be made slaves. No longer would they be poor and isolated. They would rule over all nations. So they were anxious for this Messiah to arrive. And there were those Israelites who were so anxious that they would reverently pray and patiently wait day after day after day for God to come and comfort his people, Israel. This was Simeon's life, every day praying. So he sees this young couple coming. Mary's probably, 13, 14, I think, at this point, carrying the infant. Joseph is with her. It's just another day. They're going to do their ceremonies. But Simeon stops in his tracks. This is no ordinary moment, he knows. This is no routine day of any kind. As of today, the age of the law and the prophets will end. The day of sacrifice in the temple will end, and the Lord is with us. The Lord has put on flesh. The Lord is real. The Word made flesh will clear up any more human attempts to explain and enforce the law. The light of the world has come and will reign over all the world. And not only the Jews, but the Gentiles will be redeemed and be included in God's kingdom. The bread of life will come and feed us and remind us that God gave his body and his blood for us. And our belief will help us to be fit for heaven. The great I am, one of my favorite titles for the Lord, the great I am, is going to show us God in the flesh. And someday we will see Jesus return and see him in the flesh. And it seems only that day that Simeon realized this. So I encourage you to stay alert. I encourage you to be in prayer. I encourage you to study the Holy Scriptures. Make the one true God your first priority, because the moment he entered that temple, and was brought into the world through the law, he became the law, he became the word, and he became the one through all who are will be redeemed through his salvation. They have seen their very salvation in front of them. And when you make God your first priority, you will treasure your children. You will want to be in a place like this to fellowship with believers and invite others to come and join you. You'll want to anticipate the day, like Simeon truly believed every day, any day could be the day that Jesus will come again. And that's what we believe as believers. Anticipate that day, and every day get yourself ready. And then we will know, and then we will be with him, and we will be in his presence. We had, in all the joy of having a new grandchild born this week, we had the sadness of Steve's youngest, my husband's youngest brother died of pancreatic cancer. And we had his funeral Monday in Duncannon, where they lived, and Tuesday in McVeightown, where he was raised. He wore a sweatshirt and for the viewing in the casket that said, "McVeightown is where my story starts." And I thought that was the most appropriate thing he could have worn. Maybe a Dallas Cowboys shirt, but this was a little more inclusive. And, you know, Tom fought and fought and fought that disease. Pancreatic cancer is awful. Like, we were sitting there talking, and Steve said, it's like cancer is the only thing that consumes its host. It's not thankful for a host, it consumes its host. And it was said at the funeral that all we buried, because Tom was a devout believer, is a devout believer, all we buried that day was cancer. And that because of this redemption through Jesus Christ, Tom was absent from that body that he didn't want any part of anymore. And he was walking whole and redeemed with Christ. Simeon addresses this young couple. And he tells them all that their child will do. He has seen it. God's given him the vision through the Holy Spirit. But then he looks at Mary, a young teenager who's just had her first child, and she hears the foretelling of the crucifixion and the passion that her son will suffer. He tells this very young mother that wherever Jesus goes, he will be met with hostility. The hearts of all would be revealed. And then he looked her in those young eyes and said, "And a sword will pierce your very soul." Think of the children you love. If you can, close your eyes for a moment and picture that crucifixion scene, however it pops up in your mind's eye. And imagine Mary at the foot of the cross, watching her son give himself up so that we might be redeemed. And she sees her son hanging there and suffering, and suddenly the guard pierces his side with the sword. Did she think back to what Simeon had told her? Can you feel what Mary